This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Everybody, and welcome back to Growing With The Flow. Thank you for tuning in today. I'm Naina, I'm your host. I've literally never said that, it sounds so weird. I never picture myself as like a host of this podcast. It's like, are you the host of your like the whole podcast? Do you know what I mean? In my mind, a host is like, I'm hosting a show and then there's like a team of other people. But this is like, I'm the host, the editor, I don't know, the marketing person. Not that I really do any marketing, but Instagram, I guess. I guess maybe I am the podcast. Some food for thought. Anyway, today's episode is one of my favorites. We're doing another Big Sister Advice column. I feel like these are some of my favorites to record and seem to be liked by the listeners, you guys. So always happy to do another one. I would honestly do this like every other week because I just love, I feel like I'm, I don't know, I used to do a lot more like planned topics, like planned episodes where the topics, I've like researched a topic a little bit and like planned stuff out. But my issue with that is I feel like I never, like unless I, you know, I'm not going to write like a dissertation each week on each topic, and all the topics I've discussed kind of have that breadth to them. So it feels a little bit like, why am I even like stabbing in the dark trying to like cover this topic when I don't really have like the time in like a hour episode to cover it. But then I guess it's just sort of what's on my mind about that topic at the moment. I don't know. I want to do more of like in the interactive episodes because they are my favorite. I would also, I've kind of recently been like, I wish I had a co-host because sometimes there's some topics I feel like I'd like to talk about, but I want to like bounce off of someone. I was thinking maybe I should have a friend on again. I had Neve on once. I don't even know when that was, like 2021. That was so fun. Like, it was so funny. And like, I was really not nervous, but like, I don't like vlog in front of people. I would never dream of like podcasting in front of somebody, stuff like that, because I just find it like cringe. But once we got into it, I really liked the episode and I had a really good time doing it. So I was thinking maybe I could get Neve back on, or Shreya, or any of my friends I would love to have on. But it's just like, it's a little bit scary and it's like getting it all together. I don't know, but I do, yeah, it was a good time. And I've only done it once and this is the 59th episode. Anyway, okay, what have I been up to recently? My little life updates. I went to Edinburgh for a few days, which was really nice. I saw this TikTok the other day, this like therapist, I feel like probably you've seen her, and she was talking about like, it's like a fishbowl, and she was saying like, oh, like there's something toxic in your life, or like there's some like negativity, and all the water goes brown, and then you take the fish out of the bowl and you put it into clean water, and like that's the equivalent of you like going on holiday or taking a break from, you know, work or whatever it is that is causing you like your issues, and suddenly everything seems great again. You're like, oh my god, like I love life. And then eventually the holiday ends, you have to go back to work, whatever it is, and you go back into the murky water and it's like, oh, back here again. And the feeling just like, I feel like, I think the what I took away from it was like, you can take yourself out of the situation and that can make you feel better, but it's not like a long-term fix, you know? You can't rely on holidays to enjoy your life. Or, I don't know, I guess the sad truth is that a lot of people, but if you're like living aspirationally or for a like perfect world, for example. I'm not saying that this is possible, but like I kind of want my tank to be nice water all the time. And it just made me think like, oh, because every time I go to Edinburgh, which I've gone like quite a few times recently, it is just like, I just feel so much like lighter and like better. And here's my issue is that I don't know what the problem is when I'm here. This is like, I just in my flop era when I'm in London at the moment. And I just can't figure out, because I wish it was just, not I wish, but like, I wish I knew what the issue was so I could just like address it. But I think it's just like, being in my like childhood bedroom is just the stagnant feeling that I just like can't shake. I don't know, especially because it feels like everybody else is going on with their life. Like my brother's at uni, my parents are at work, all my friends are like, nearly all my friends have jobs or are doing still in uni or like doing a master's or something. So actually all my friends apart from Neve, so like literally everyone I know, and it kind of just feels like I'm just chilling in my childhood bedroom. And I feel like this is part of the gap year that like people don't talk about that much, or like, I don't know, I feel like this is something to consider if you want to do a gap year. Unless you've planned to be away or like busy with whatever it is that you're planning to do for the entire 15 months, because most of the time if you're doing it like in academic years, it's the full year plus the summer of the last year, you get me? So it's like 15 months. Unless you have the funds and the plans to fill every single, like, you know, 90% of the 15 months, there's going to be time where you're home and you're not really doing anything of value. Like, you're probably just working, like, a part-time job, or, I don't know, even if you're just home for, like, 2 weeks and you don't get a job, like, you're literally just sat in your childhood bedroom, and it is kind of like, what do I do now? And our whole lives, I feel like we're taught to, like, be super productive, and, like, I kind of feel like get my self-worth in a way from like academics or like a job or like being super productive. And this year I've like had the opportunity, which is like a huge privilege and one that I've not really had before, other than like, you know, summer. But summer feels different because everyone's doing it, and like, I don't know, but what I have right now is like a huge privilege, which is that I can wake up most days, and I am trying to like make videos and podcasts and stuff, but aside from that, I'm kind of just like, I have nothing to do. Like, I could choose today to have done nothing. I've chosen that so many days, to just like do nothing or like relax. And in theory, that's really nice, because it's like you're finally free from like capitalism and like the productivity wheel and like always chasing the next big thing. But it's like, it's not relaxing, because it's just been like drilled into you to be productive. And that's what makes you like worthwhile as a person. I don't know. It's a little bit interesting. A little bit. Not fully. But anyway, I am going to be quite busy soon. I'll tell you my future plans, actually. So, in two weeks, I'm driving to Edinburgh. I'm taking the car again, which I'm a little bit, like, about, because I hate... Not hate, but, like... So, it's a 7-hour drive. Probably 8 when I've, like, stopped and stuff. Maybe, like, 7.5. And I feel like if you're not from... I don't even know, the UK or like Europe, like I feel like in America, in my mind, you guys do like massive drives, because it's such a big country, and like, I don't know, isn't Texas the size of like Europe? Not, that's an exaggeration, but isn't it something like that, where it's like just massive? Whereas here, I feel like a 7-hour drive is like, I'm going the like kind of the length of the country. I'd say the longest drive you can do in the UK, like 15 hours, I'm assuming. I don't know, from like the top of Scotland to Cornwall. Is what I'm envisioning. I don't know though, but like, you really can't drive, like, you know, a 7-hour drive is very long. And on my own, it's just boring. It's just so boring. And I've not done it in a while. I've not done it for a year, actually, when I moved home last year. So I've had some time off from it, which is nice. But yeah, it's just like so long. I've done it a few times. I did it like the Christmas of my final year. Like, I came home and then drove back up. But yeah, it's just, I need to like save podcasts, but my issue is like, because I don't have any life right now or like anything on, I'm like just going to the gym or like going on a walk or something, and then it's like I'm using up all my podcasts, but I need to save them. But yeah, anyway, that's what I'm doing in 2 weeks. The reason I'm driving is because me and Shreya are going to Aviemore, which is like 2 hours I think it's like 200 hours up from Edinburgh into, I think it's in the Cairngorms. I always find that word so hard to say. And so yeah, it should be really nice. Lots of locks, lots of like a nice scenery, natural beauty, you know, that sort of thing. We're going away for a couple of days and then I'm going to stay with Niamh and then I'm going to stay in Edinburgh. So it's going to be really nice. Actually, I don't know if I am going to Edinburgh. I don't know. But I'm going to Scotland for like 2 full weeks, which is really exciting. And yeah, I'm just excited to like be with friends. That's another thing about my current life is that I don't like see friends very much. I'd say I see friends like once a week, but really not that much because it's hard to like, for example, a lot of my friends work Monday to Friday and they can't guarantee like what time they'll finish. So like they're not free Monday to Friday most of the time. So then it's like, okay, well, I can meet you on the weekend, but then it's like, okay, well, that's once a week max. And then it's like, oh, well, maybe they have family stuff. Or like, you know, not everyone's free all weekend every week. So I think that's another issue in my life is that I just don't see friends that much, especially going from like uni where you live with your best friends. And like, we used to hang out with our friends all day, every day. Like we'd literally go to the library with them, have lunch with them, go back to the library, watch TV in the evening together. Like it was just like so much friend time. And I really liked that. I feel like it was like very comforting to me. And I'm spending a lot of time on my own right now, which is fine. Again, like, I don't know, it's fine. But, and I am independent and I am, like, I went on that trip to Europe for like 6 weeks on my own. And it doesn't bother me being by myself, but I feel like it would be naive to say like, oh, I don't need other people or I don't need like human interaction. Like, it's not like cool to say that. Like, that's not true. So I don't even know where it's. Oh yeah, anyway, then I'm going to Scotland for 2 weeks and I'm coming home for 3 days and then I'm going to India. So I have got stuff coming up that will be busy for, I'm going to India for the whole of June. So I have got some stuff, busy stuff coming up, and I'm like, oh, I should like pre-record really. Like realistically, I should be recording like most days because there's so many weeks where I'm going to be away. I'm going to try do some pre-recording. I'd love if I could get an episode out like every other week while I'm away. And then hopefully every week, I don't know, I need to stop promising things. Okay, anyway, that's my life update. That was kind of long. So let's get into the advice. I kind of want to do some new advice. I feel like I always read similar submissions, but I want to do some that I've not done before, something, or like topics that I've not covered before. Let's have a look. Oh, okay. Feeling directionless during uni summer holidays. Relatable. Okay. I think, let's carry on talking about this. I feel like the reason we feel directionless is because, especially in school, I think summer holidays are like 6 weeks, which is like a long time, but it's not, like uni summer holidays are like 3 months, right? Like June, July, August, yeah. Can be longer. I feel like some unis it's like 3.5 months. That's like a quarter of your year. You're like just entertaining yourself. I'd say my main advice is like, and I also need to take this advice right now, but it's just so difficult, is that in the grand scheme of life, having this free time and this like time where you can like be more like picky, or I don't know, be more in charge of what you're doing with your time. Obviously, like you can't choose every second of every day, like if you probably have a job or whatever, but I feel like the fact that you have more choice in that way, unique and something to really appreciate, and I'm trying so hard to appreciate it right now, but I just can't get it in my head that it's a good thing. Like for example, I'm sure when you've been working a job, like you know, you get a job after uni and you work for like 10 years, like you know, I'm saying like imagine in like 10 years from now when you've been working that job for 10 years, you would love a uni summer, especially because all your friends from uni are also off. Maybe they live far away, but like your home friends, if they went to uni, will be around as well. And it's just like, I don't know, summer's a great season. I feel like there is like stuff to do. You can, even if you're just like, you know, reading or watching TV, or just enjoying, like, I think the issue is that we sabotage ourselves because it's like, it's a dream scenario where, especially for me, like my uni summers, okay, I worked, like had a quote real job in first year summer, and second year summer for me was COVID, so I didn't, but I went back to my job after that. Maybe I did for some of it, I don't remember. But like third year summer, I was doing YouTube as my job, so I didn't even have a job I disliked, which is like the dream. Like I had like the perfect summer setup. It's just nice. I feel like you can try to enjoy, like, I don't know, also knowing that like you're going back in September, like you need to recharge, you need that time to like decompress, and that's something to be like very grateful for. I think I have this problem too. Some ideas for things you could do: plan like little day trips or trips with your uni friends or home friends, even like camping or something that's like really cheap and just like in the country you live in. Just things like that. Those are such like sweet memories. I feel like stuff like that. What else? Like enjoy the city that you live in. Probably you have like a part-time job. But I always like, I kind of ended up loving my part-time jobs in the summer. I know like a lot of jobs are really, really shit. And the jobs I did were like very tiring and like I kind of hated it in the moment. But at the same time, you're like hanging out with a group of people. If the people are nice, I feel like it's a good time. Like we'd go to the pub like once a week and I don't know, like laugh about the job and stuff like that. I don't know. I just feel like it can be like good. I know not to like romanticize something that is just inherently shit, but there are like, I don't know. I feel like it's in retrospect, it can be like nice. So yeah, just remember that like it is like so, we're so lucky to have any time like that. And it's like a bummer that we've been conditioned to like feel like unworthy of it. But this is the situation you've got, so make the most of it. Working in group projects. Okay, oh my god, do I hate group projects. I'm not gonna lie, I feel like I'm not the best in a team, which is like a fatal flaw to have, like not a good flaw at all. Something I kind of love about YouTube is that like I'm just completely on my own like timetable and scheduling, where I'm not waiting for anybody else to submit something to me. People are waiting for me to submit stuff, but you know, like I just feel like there's not too many like deadlines or relying, you don't really have to rely on other people too much, and I quite like that. I feel like I can trust myself to do my work, but not so much these days, to be honest. But like in theory I can trust myself to like be on time for stuff. But group projects in uni, I actually never had it bad, but I have friends who it's like the day before and there's people in the group that have done nothing, like haven't written a single thing on the Google Doc, haven't gone to any of the meetings. Like I just feel like people, group work, I think it's just so, I don't know, it does feel a little bit silly because everyone's got such a different situation and people are willing to put in different amounts of effort to uni. Like especially when the groups are assigned, it's like, well, I'm going for this grade, someone else is going for this grade, obviously we're not going to be putting in the same amount of effort, you know. And it does sometimes feel like it's a bit unfair, but I guess that's life, and I think that's the point of group work, is to like teach you that. I know at some unis you get individual marks, but at my uni the group project would get a mark and then everyone in the group gets that mark. So it was very much like, you want that project to be good. It can't just be that your bit's good, because they won't even know which bit that is. My advice for working in groups, if you can, I would say try to like pick the people, because I just, yeah, just in general, it's easier if you pick people that you like know they're like work, know how they work. The issue I feel like also is if you submit stuff like well in advance, like I'm, for example, I get stressed doing stuff last minute, so I just don't do that. Like I'll just like work slowly over the course of the time. But I know a lot of people, like that's just how they work, like you do the project like a week before. But with group work it just doesn't work like that, and it's kind of frustrating with everyone's different inputs. And also I feel like the uni is never very understanding. Like for example, if you were to go to them and say like, oh, this person hasn't done any of the group work, they're kind of just like, oh well. Like whereas at work I feel like that would be received like as, oh, that's a problem, you know. I'd say my advice is pick the people, try and pick the people. I know that's not always possible. And then just try and be planned. Like don't be shy to be like, oh, I'm gonna make like a rough like schedule of what we're gonna do, because that is just like so worth it. Give yourself mini deadlines and like everybody else. And I know it's so hard if nobody else is like caring, but even like just work backwards from the deadline and be like, oh well, we want to have it done by this day so we can like read over it, and then okay, that means that we should all submit our parts on this day, and just stuff like that. Like, try and plan it out, but also know that it does suck. I really don't like group work at uni. I just feel like it's just, I don't know, it's so much harder to coordinate than the project, like, than the value of the project, if you get me. Yeah, I'd also say try and meet up in person. I do think that people are more likely to, like, be held accountable or, like, feel like a commitment to the group project if you meet up in person, whereas if you always do it on Zoom, I feel like it's easy to just close your laptop and, like, forget about, like, what you've been asked to do, or, like, your, like, for example, if you all say, like, oh, let's all do the reading for our sections by this day and meet up and discuss it, I feel like people are more likely to do the reading and be, like, embarrassed if they haven't done it when you meet up than if you were to just, like, Zoom chat about it. Especially in uni, I feel like often people are always, like, in on campus at the same time. So, yeah, I don't know.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, somebody said, I'm doing my A-levels this month. I have no idea what to do after my graduation. Firstly, you have so much time. Like, genuinely, there is no stress. There's no rush. This is, like, honestly kind of a good situation to be in. Obviously, I'm sure you wished you knew what you wanted to do, but there's so much opportunity. I think my advice would be to take a gap year. If you're doing your A-levels now and you don't know what to do, that means you've not applied to uni. And I don't know when apprenticeships, like, when those, like, the deadlines for those are, but my advice would be to take a gap year for sure. I know it's not, like, accessible to everyone, but I feel like you can tailor it to what is accessible to you. So Unjaded Jade has a great video. I think it's from, like, 4 years ago now, but it's a video on what to do on a gap year, and I feel like she's got, like, loads of ideas in that. So even if you have a long summer, I feel like that's a great video to watch, like, something just, like, things to sort of, like, fill your time, because after school, like, school, you're so used to having everything, like, planned out for you, so it is a bit like, oh my god, what am I going to do every day? So my advice would be to take a gap year and either do something. I would say try and save some money. It depends on your situation, like, whether that's possible and stuff, but I would say, like, get a full-time, like, job, or, like, try and do more hours at your current job or something like that. And save up till, like, this really is just an example now, till, like, Christmas, and then you could go traveling for 3 months or even 1 month or anything like that. I feel like also you can do a lot of, like, working abroad things, which is a way of, like, traveling and seeing a new country without having to spend as much. And you obviously have to cover the flights, but your wages should cover, like, your life while you're there. Yeah, obviously if you're not into travel, those are two bad suggestions, but I'd say a combination of, like, work and fun is what is gonna, like, give you a good experience. Like, obviously you need the money to do the stuff, but then you can hopefully go see some stuff. And then I'd say on that year, it will probably become more clear. It's likely it will become more clear what you want to do the next year. Like, you'll probably, I don't know, maybe even, like, time away from education, you'll be like, oh, actually, I do want to go to uni, I'm going to apply. Or you'll be like, oh, this aspect of something that I've been doing while I'm here, that I'm interested in that, maybe I'll apply for a job in that. I don't know. I feel like with time, things will become more clear. So don't get bogged down in the fact that you don't know what to do, because it is, like, you're going to do something. Like, it is going to, you know, something's going to happen. Even if you do something you don't like, that's just, you know, a step in towards what it is that you will like. Post-exam anxieties. Okay, I guess this is pretty relevant for this time of year. This I actually don't relate to that much. I feel like I can be like anxious before an exam. I'd say I'm an overall anxious person, but like academic stress doesn't give me too much anxiety. I don't know why. It just doesn't really stress me out too much. But for me, after an exam, in my mind, it's like, oh, like now I have time away from having to stress about the exam. Like, you know, because I'm assuming there's at least like a month until you find out. What would be hard, I feel like, is if you come out on exam, you're like, I know that went badly. And I know this is a hard mindset to adopt, but I just think you have to see it as like, well, the exam is done now. Whether it went good or bad, there's literally nothing, no value in thinking about it now because it's done. Like, it's in the past and you can't go back in time. So now, if anything, you should just enjoy the time where you don't know whether it went good or bad. Like, if it has gone badly, you should just enjoy your life until you find out that it's gone badly. Not that if it goes badly, that's like gonna ruin everything, but I feel, yeah, my mindset is very much like you have to just look forward. A quote my mum always told me, I didn't think she came up with this, but maybe like her grandma told it to her or something like that, I can't remember, but it is, worrying is like a rocking chair, gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. And I think this is very apt in this scenario, because you've done the exam, you can worry about it and, you know, that'll give your brain something to like focus on, but realistically that's not getting you any closer to doing better in the exam because the exam is done. So that's kind of harsh advice, but that is how I think of it. Like, the exam's in the past and there's nothing to be done about it now. Oh, okay. What to do if my best friend is in a toxic relationship but she loves him anyway? This is never a fun situation. I'm trying to think if I've ever been in this situation. I don't think so, actually, but it's never nice seeing anyone you're friends with be mistreated by, that could be by a friend, a parent, a partner, whatever it is. And because you're outside the situation, it's always so like crystal clear that isn't like an okay way to be treated. But when you're in the situation, I feel like you're blinded by like love, and that could be of a partner, of a friend, or a parent, whatever it is. It's hard because in some ways I'm like, you need to tell them how you feel, but I also think that you can't, I don't know, it's also it makes the friendship so tricky if you say like, oh, I really don't like that they do this, and then they continue to go out with them. It's just a bit like, oh, well, now it's like the elephant in the room is that I don't agree with this aspect, but it's still happening. So just, I don't know, I'd say my advice, this might not be the best advice, would be to approach them with it once and say like, oh, maybe you should talk to him about this and this and this, because I don't feel like that's the best, I don't know, I don't feel like those are the healthiest things that are happening, and you're so great and I feel like you deserve this, 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 like, I think you're, you know, keep it like positive. And then I would just like walk away from the situation. I feel like after I've said it once, I would probably just like let it be and not bring it up again unless I was like really, really concerned. But once they know how you feel, I feel like it's not on you to like repeatedly like guide them in the right direction. But it is hard because I know that when you're in that situation, like when you're the person with the partner or whoever it is, it's like so much harder to see what's happening. So yeah, I would say like try and like plant the idea, like make them think, like make them question maybe it's not okay for this to be happening, and then just like I would probably not speak to them about it unless they brought it up, unless I was really concerned. How to deal with loneliness when solo traveling. Before I left, my mum was like, you know, if you feel lonely, like just come home, like really don't stress about it, like, and she didn't mean like, you know, if you feel a bit lonely just give up, but like, you know, if it gets too much. She did a lot of solo travel when she was younger. I think she went to live in China for like, I don't know how long, 6 months, I think, maybe like a year. And so I feel like she knows a thing or two. And my advice would be, if you're solo traveling, the one of the perks is like you're not marching to the beat of anyone else's drum, you know, like if you decide you want to come home, like, you're not letting anyone down because, and not that you are if you're with a friend, but you know what I mean? Like, it would feel like I'm, you know, letting someone else down by leaving this trip. So I would say just, it's going to be fine, and just, you can go home if you need to. If you are just a bit lonely and you want to stay, but you're just like struggling with it, I'd say try and meet more people, which is so much easier said than done. But, you know, if you're staying in a hostel, try and put yourself out there. And this is advice I wouldn't take, by the way, just so you know, like, it's not like I do this and I'm like perfect, but not that anyone thought I was, but you know what I mean? Like, this is hard advice to take, but I'd say try and put yourself out there with the people that are around you where you are. And if that fails, just message a friend and be like, oh, I've not spoken to you in a while, let's FaceTime this week when you're free. Or, oh, like, I'm on a walk right now, are you free? Like, let's call. And just like, that's the great thing about like social media and the internet and stuff, is like, not social media, but you know, phones and stuff, is being able to contact people. Because I feel like an hour FaceTime, if you've been on your own for a while, that can do like a world of good. So I would say, like, utilize the fact that you can do that, and also try and put yourself out there with like the people that are around you. Stay busy, I guess. If you're traveling, you probably are quite busy, but I feel like that helps as well. Even like, you do a day trip somewhere, like you book a day trip with like, and it's, you know, a group of people and the leader, that even on that, something like that, like, chat to the people who are there. There's no pressure, because if they don't like you, you're not going to see them again after this day. But if you do like them, you could be like, how long are you in this place? Like, let's hang out, you know? So also know that, like, it definitely can feel lonely, but you know, you're going to come home one day and all the friends and like relationships that you have at home are still going to exist. So like, this is just a time in your life where you're going to be more solo. And that's just how, I don't know, there's lots of chapters in life, and that's just like, I see it as like, that's just like one of the chapters, you know? Someone said, should you get back with an ex if the breakup was messy and kind of disrespectful? I'm thinking no, and I'm thinking, you know, the answer's no as well, if you're saying kind of disrespectful. Obviously, I don't know the situation, but okay, writing a dissertation or thesis, advice for that. So let me think. I handed mine in like over a year ago, which is insane. I can't believe I guess time has gone fast and slow, because that feels like a lifetime ago, but also like kind of like last week. Okay, my advice, other than the obvious things, I feel like people's advice is always start early. That is the best advice, but I'd say don't start like writing early, because I feel, for me anyway, if I'd started writing really early, it would have just been a waste, because I wasn't going to use, I feel like as you go forward through the process, you understand more like what is actually relevant to write about, or what is like a good chapter. And if you just start writing like really, really early, I feel personally that like I would have written stuff that was like ended up not making it in the dissertation. So my advice would be start early and like focus on research, readings, and write that up, like write what you've learned from each reading or whatever, but I wouldn't say like start writing the actual thing early. Use your supervisor or whoever it is that you have, like, you know, the staff person, because normally if you come across like keen, they're very like happy to help, because they're like obviously interested in the subject and they are dedicating their life to you know, that area of study. So they want to talk about it, and I feel like sometimes it feels like, oh, I'm so irrelevant, I'm just like a little undergrad, and they've got bigger things on. But I feel like I'm assuming they can sort of see themselves in us. And I don't know, for me anyway, if someone was like to me like, oh, I'm doing A level maths, whatever, like, can you like give me some advice? It's like, oh, I'd like love to give you advice, because that's like something I've like gone through. Quote, use the person that you're assigned, or that you've chosen to be like the supervisor. Trust the process. It will get done, but sometimes it's going to feel like it won't get done. I don't know, you're not the anomaly. Sometimes I have to tell myself like, I'm not the anomaly, because often I'll be like, oh my god, I'm like, for example, I'm gonna fail my drive, I'm never gonna pass my driving test, I'm never ever gonna learn to drive, like, it's just not for me, I'm never ever ever gonna be able to do this. That's how I feel about, I'm such a giver-upper at the start of things. Like, I literally, the other day I was like, I'm gonna learn how to crochet a granny square, I tried, like, I watched this YouTube video, this was like a week ago, and I came to the conclusion I couldn't do it. It just wasn't for me. I would never, ever be able to do it. Like, and I shut the laptop, I walked away, I was like, bummer, because I already bought the hook. And I can't do it. I will never, ever be able to do this. And then, like, a few days later, I was like, okay, I'll give it one more try. I was like, just watch the entire YouTube video, try to follow it, the whole thing, and if you still can't do it, that's fine, but, like, actually watch the whole thing. And now I've made a pillowcase, guys. Well, I haven't, like, fully. I've made the pieces that will make it. I don't know. I've made, like, some stuff, and it's, like, now I can crochet it with, like, without thinking, and, like, I could just watch TV and crochet, which is so fun. But it's, like, my instant, like, reaction to not being, like, instantly, like, okay at something is, like, oh, well, I just can't do it then. Like, I'm the problem. Like, I'll never be able to drive. I'll never be able to crochet. And it's, like, firstly, what a stupid mindset. But secondly, like, I'm not the anomaly. Like, I'm not special. And yes, everyone's special. But, you know, in some ways, it's, like, nice to be, like, I'm not special, you know? Most people can drive, given that you've had lessons and the opportunity to learn. But, like, you know, it's very rare to be, like, I can't drive. And obviously, like, some people, it's going to take more lessons, or, like, you give up, then you try again, you come back to it. But, like, I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's, like, the first week of learning, I was, like, I will never, ever be able to do this. I just know it. And then 4 months later, I passed. So it's kind of, like, just don't, and I feel like this goes for dissertation, just don't get all, like, I don't know, in your head about it, because there were points where I was writing it where I was like, this will not get finished, or this isn't going to be anywhere, this is going to be an embarrassment to hand this in, like, because it's just not going to be, like, of the right level of work. And I ended up getting, like a decent mark in it, so it really isn't the end of the world. Also, another thing to think about is that it's your first piece of, like, proper independent work, and, like, where you're properly studying something, like, on your own that you've come up with. I don't feel like, obviously there's, like, examples of that, but it's definitely the biggest one that you've done up to that point. And they know that. Like, they know it's independent work. Like, it's marked with them knowing that you've not had help with it. Whereas if you compare it to, like, a regular essay where you've been taught the content, that it's just marked so differently. So I would say, like, you're not the anomaly, you're not the only person that can't do it. Like, you will get it done, and it's gonna be fine. Ooh, this is such a fun one. Okay, organizing a big trip in another continent. Ah, that makes me, like, excited to read that. It depends where you're going, obviously. My advice would be, don't, like, heavily plan it, because things will come up while you're away that you, like, realize you want to do. So if you plan the entire route out and book things, then you get somewhere and then you meet someone on a boat trip or something, and they're like, oh, you have to go to this thing, it's only an hour away and it's so fun, I had such a good time. And then you've not got it in your schedule, it's like, oh, I've come all the way around the world, really, and now I'm missing this cool thing because I pre-planned stuff. So I'd say be flexible. When we went to Southeast Asia, we planned the countries, the list of countries, and the, like, the order, but we didn't plan what places within the countries. We also changed it. We went to Malaysia in the end, which we didn't have on the original list. And yeah, just things like that. Like, you can always plan while you're there. Even if you're planning, like, we booked a lot of stuff, like hotels and stuff, like the day before. I think it really depends what season you're going in. I wouldn't recommend doing that, or relying on that. But I'd say you can book things like 2 weeks before. Again, it really depends though, because if you're coming to, like, Europe, the issue is if you're going to Europe, it's, like, much cheaper to do things further in advance. So there, yeah, again, there's anomalies to that. But my advice would be, don't have, like, too strict of a route. What we did was we booked a return flight. So we had a flight out to Singapore and a flight back from Bangkok. And we booked the first 2 weeks of, like, accommodation and travel. And then other than that, we just, like, worked it out as we went along. And that worked really, really well for us. I'd say that would be good for Southeast Asia, South America. I don't know how it works in Australia. I know a lot of people travel there. I have a lot of friends, actually. Or, like, I feel like my whole Instagram, not as much now, but, like, 2 months ago, was like people in Australia. I don't know if you have to book things further in advance there, but either way, I feel like you probably don't need to plan everything before you go. So yeah, I'd say in terms of organizing, you don't have to organize too much. I'd say things to focus on are your budget, like how much money do you have, how much money should you be spending, like you don't want to run out of money. And then I'd also say a rough idea of like when you're coming back. You don't have to book a return flight, just depends. We did because it was way cheaper. My flights to Southeast Asia were, I think, like 460 quid return, which is like such a good deal. And it wasn't direct, but it was like, it wasn't indirect. It was like a 1 hour flight and then a 12 hour flight. So it was kind of very straightforward. And yeah, I feel like we saved a lot of money by doing that, but you don't have to. You definitely can like book a return flight when you're there. But I would say like, if you don't book it like a month in advance, plus like you're going to be paying like more than you need to, but maybe that's worth it to you. I don't know. In terms of like activities and stuff, I feel like it just becomes apparent when you're in the places. Like a lot of stuff we'd do, like we'd just be walking along the street and see like a boat tour, like a little kiosk to like book a boat tour. You know, you walk around, you see a few kiosks, you look at the prices, you look at what's included. One piece of advice that surprised me is that it was cheaper to buy stuff like for example a boat day. It was cheaper to book that when you were there, like in cash with like somebody on the street, than it was to do it online. I feel like in the UK, or like where I'm, like, yeah, in maybe in Europe as well, it's typically cheaper to buy stuff online than to buy it with like a tourist person in person. But we found that it was often cheaper if you book it like with the person. I don't know, maybe they prefer the cash, I'm not sure. Yeah, I feel like the question is organizing a big trip, but I really don't think you have to do like too much organization. Like a lot of it will just come with time, and the people that you meet like while you're away will recommend stuff, and I feel like trust that, because like if they've literally been to it last week, like that's more reliable than like any article I feel like online that's been written like 10 years ago or something. Yeah, those are my main advice. Okay, last question. Advice on choosing a uni location / course. Location, I'd say really think, do you want to live there? Are you a city person? Are you a, you know, small town person? Like, do you like being near nature? Do you not really care about that? Do you like living in a place where, like London, for example, where there's always something on, there's like ample, there's gallery after gallery, you know, loads of theatre stuff, always a new restaurant to try? Or do you like living in a small city where you kind of know everything really well and you get more of a sense of like community? Do you like a campus uni or a city-based uni? I feel like that's a big decision. In terms of course, I would say like go on the websites and look at the course outlines and then the topics that you're studying. And if you don't know what the topics mean, just do like 5 minutes of research into what that actually is, because sometimes it's like, we'll be studying this, it's like, I have no idea what that is. So just like spend a little bit of time. And also look at, like, for example, is there a year abroad option? Like, is that something that you're interested in? Or I don't know, for some unis, if you're doing a joint honours, it depends. Sometimes you have to do the dissertation in one subject, or you can choose which one you want to do it in. Just stuff like that. Also, for some courses, I feel like you can pick between doing like a project or a dissertation. Is that an option that you want to have? How far away is it from your house? How expensive is it to get there? Because you'll probably be doing that journey like at least like a handful of times a year, and that's going to set you back cost-wise if it's really, really expensive. And if it is and you decide that you want to go, like, budget that in advance. So yeah, there's lots to think about, but I do think most people end up enjoying what they choose, because it's, I don't know, sometimes I feel like we're programmed to like up the decisions we make, because it's like, it would be so miserable to not like them. Do you get what I mean? Like, if you choose to go to a certain uni, obviously it's like very normal to drop out and like change your mind and stuff. But I do think for a lot of people, even if there's aspects you don't like, you end up kind of loving it, because it's your life and like your new community and like friends. And I don't know, I feel like I wouldn't stress like too much about it. I'm trying to think if there was anything I didn't like about Edinburgh. I guess it's quite far away. You can spend easily like 80 quid on return train tickets, which is just annoying, and it does take a good half a day to travel. But I kind of think I don't mind that because it's worth it once I get there. I'm trying to think if there was anything else I didn't like. Edinburgh is a city uni, which I preferred. I think I like being like near loads of other stuff, but I'm sure a lot of people don't love that. I would say the first year situation in Edinburgh isn't great because you can either live in Pollock, which is like kind of like a campus of accommodation, but it's all apart from one, I think, catered, and I didn't want to be catered. Like, if you don't want to be catered, you're kind of in like a bit of a like random situation where you're living in halls that are like dotted around the city. Some of them are really far away from the uni as well. I'd say that that's like one of the downfalls, but that's what you get when you go to a city uni, because obviously they can't just like house everyone in one space in the middle of the city. Okay, that's everything I have for this week. I hope you enjoyed. I hopefully will be back on Monday, and like I said, I'm gonna try and plan out what I'm doing so that everything fits together. I'm gonna have a YouTube video coming out this weekend or next weekend, I think, so you can look out for that. I also uploaded 2 YouTube videos recently if you're interested in those. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. It means a lot to me. I feel like I don't say that enough, but it means a lot to me, but also I have no idea. Like, it kind of is like, I can't understand that anyone's listening. So, I don't know. Yeah. If you have listened to the whole thing, let me know where you listened to it. I love seeing, like, stories where you show me what you're up to, or you can, like, leave a comment or something. But yeah, have a nice rest of your week, and see you next week. Bye!